Welcome, everyone. I've turned on mute so that if you'd like to join us, just press star 6 and say, Dave, 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 and when I hear you, I'll bring you on the line. We're here at the house having a hamburger and hot dog fest, and I must confess that I just ate a hot dog about as fast as I think I've ever eaten one. So if it comes back and talks to all of us, you'll just have to pardon me right in advance. Great to be with you tonight. We welcome our guests who are with us for the first time. Tonight we're going to be talking about a very special topic. It's goal setting, and it's a little different twist, perhaps, on the topic of goal setting. Before we jump into that, I'd like to share with you an experience I had this last week, because in these calls we talk about the six qualities of an intentional creator, and the very first quality is connecting with people. I want you to reflect on a time when you just didn't feel like connecting with someone. Anybody ever been in that kind of a space? You can raise your hand if you'd like to right there on the phone. Yep, that's me. If you fly very much, and if it's at the end of a long week, and you just want to put on those Bose headset, you know, those headphones, and cancel out the noise and listen to some music. For me, it's Josh Groban. It just relaxes me. You got a good book to read, maybe close your eyes, catch a little nap. Oh, that's where I was last Thursday evening when it came time to catch a flight from Salt Lake to Minneapolis, then from Minneapolis to Des Moines for a speaking engagement the following day. I got to the airport, didn't get an upgrade. Okay. Now it's time to get on the plane. My seat is 26C. I'm working my way back, and at the very end, I see the seat kind of almost sticking out in the aisle. It's sticking out because there's only one seat behind it, and you usually close the door and, you know, occupied that seat. And I went, no, it can't be that seat. 18, 19, 20, you know, 23, 20, oh, no! 26C is that seat. Every time I'll close my eyes, someone will be bumping into it, holding onto it. It's just it's like right in the middle of a circus. And I went, ugh, I am so tired. This is not good. And there was this voice inside of me that said, David, you teach people to connect. I wonder if there's a reason why you're supposed to be in this seat tonight. I pondered for a moment. About that time, I discovered there was no overhead bin space, and I had to fight against traffic, you know, swim upstream, almost halfway up the plane to find a spot for my bag. The flight attendant was assisting me, you know, working my way up, came back, and I'm trying to regroup and say, you know, there's a reason for this. And that's when Barbara showed up. Barbara had a big smile on her face. She sat down next to me. She was in the middle seat. Next to her was her granddaughter, Ariel. And we began to have a conversation. She was just so happy. It was easy to notice immediately two things. The headband, like a handkerchief over your head, you know, when you're losing your hair because of chemotherapy. Stepped into her world, found out where she was going. She was going to see a grandchild that had been born a month earlier. So excited to go. That was in Minneapolis, that she was going on to Wisconsin to see two twin grandchildren she hadn't seen for a while. She was so excited to see them. I couldn't help but ask, do you have cancer? And she said, yes. I said, are you comfortable talking about it? She says, oh, yes. I have colon cancer that's metastasized into my knees, my lungs, and my brain. And before I could say anything, she said, you know, I probably won't make it till Christmas. I said, what takes you out on this trip? She says, my bucket list. I said, your bucket list? She said, yeah. It's all about family. I'm going to visit all of my family members before I die. Barbara's 56 years old. You're younger than me. And we had the most precious 2 hours together. And I got a picture of her. It's so fun. I got a picture of her. We exchanged information. We're going to have an opportunity to communicate, send her a book. There's no financial gain in this. It was just a new friend. The next flight was exciting. Started talking to the gentleman sitting next to me. He was a professor of music. He was the head of the music department at Ball State University before he retired to Oregon, a well-known composer. Had written a book on music that was making a lot of money, and so he was very comfortable. We talked politics. We talked learning. It was a wonderful conversation. Then I got in the taxi cab and met Dallas. Dallas's latest grandchild had been born 30 minutes earlier, just down the street. And he was excited to get off his shift so he could go to the hospital and see this new child. Dallas gave me a wonderful tour of Des Moines, not taking me out of the way, just started with a book that was in front of me. Please open that up. And I started going through the pictures, and he started telling me what I was seeing and where it was in the city. He just loved being a taxi cab driver and an ambassador for Iowa and for Des Moines. This was just the beginning. Three new friends. Great people. The next day, we go to the convention. Kevin Hall, many of you know Kevin, who wrote the book Aspire, was the opening keynote speaker in the morning. And boy, did he warm up the audience. These were project managers, very systemic people. And they were like dry sponges, excited to feel a little warm water from Kevin. They just sucked it up. Then they went to breakouts. At noon, Chad Hymas spoke. Chad is quadriplegic. That morning was his ninth day on the road. It took him an hour and 40 minutes to get dressed. He has no use of his fingers. He can move his arms because he can feel his shoulders and has a little bit of strength in his biceps. Can't feel any triceps, can't feel any arms. His arms, hands are totally numb. Hour and 40 minutes to get dressed. He has to go through a very interesting process every 2 hours to drain his bladder. Every 48 hours, healthcare nurses come in to take care of him. And he doesn't have anyone traveling with him. Little crisis that night when he missed his flight. I put this on mute just so we keep the call very clean for right now. The next day, we spent time starting at 4 o'clock in the morning helping him to get home. And when I dropped him off at 1 o'clock in Salt Lake, after having flown with him, talked to him, experienced his life, I could not remember one single negative comment the entire time. Never a complaint about anything. He was so full of sunlight, so committed to teaching others how to be healed in spite of their life circumstances. And we're sitting on the plane. He said that to me. I've been healed. And I said, healed? Oh, some of the young people think that means I can walk again. I don't have legs. I have wings. He flies 300,000 miles on Delta and another 100,000 miles on other airlines in the course of a year. In the last 12 months, he's given 300 speeches, been on the road 265 days with no one with him, other than his willingness to serve and people's willingness to step up and serve him. It is a magnificent thing to observe. I got in my car and I wept. It was time for me to raise it up a notch or two. How many times do I, after a busy day and hard work, show up for Ramona the way he shows up for Shondell. You see, he brought suitcases home with clothes that had already been laundered, so he wouldn't be a burden to his wife. Can you imagine? Every morning at 7 o'clock, there's a devotional with the children. Every night at 9 o'clock, there's a devotional with the children. I watched a miracle in process and thought, I never want to complain again. This morning, Ramona said, how did you sleep? It was restless as can be, but compared to him waking up every 2 hours, which he must do, it was marvelous. How did you sleep? Oh, great. Your back looks a little stiff. Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, what perspective Chad Hymas gave me. What an honor. He didn't want pity. He wanted us to change. He epitomized what Barbara said to me. The end of our conversation sitting on the plane, I said, I'm going to be standing in front of 350 or 400 people tomorrow afternoon speaking. If you were standing by my side, what would you say to them? And she smiled, this big beaming smile. She says, Dave, I'd tell them to suck it up. It could be worse. Yeah. That was the message of the whole weekend. Let us suck it up, because it could be a lot worse. And a big thank you to John Stein, one of our coaches, who invited me to come and speak, and Kevin and Chad. What an honor. Thank you, John. Life-changing moments. Well, tonight, we move from connecting with people. Last week we talked about using our mind constructively. We talked about mental rehearsal, exploration, inspiration, problem solving. Instead of using this very powerful mind to vividly visualize escape and avoid fantasies, and subsequently catastrophizing. I only want to say one thing about this before we go into goals and expectations, into goal setting and planning. If you ever find yourself worrying, catastrophizing about what could go wrong and how bad it could be, that is the evidence of an expectation. That's the evidence. We don't catastrophize, and worry and fear, as Og said, torment myself over things that may never come to pass. We do not do this unless an expectation has not been met. So let us be very, very careful what we do, especially as we go into planning and goal setting, that we do this in a way that it will ignite our passion and not ignite cortisol and leave us with that gut in our, that lightning bolt in our gut, that fear dendrite that shuts down our prefrontal cortex and centralizes all the metabolic energy of our brain and our fight or flight center. Let us start this process tonight committed to receiving and inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Now, I'll take this off the master mute in a little while, but let me teach you the principles. If you've got a paper and a pen handy, that'll be helpful. I'll be referencing some of the material that's in the program. Be more specific if we can in terms of your circumstances. Because right now, when we get as discouraged as some people are, it's difficult to engage in this process, and there has never been a time when it was more needed to have a vision that drives us, that ignites our passion. There will be times, and Og talked about this, when I first read this, I thought, this doesn't make sense. It says, I will never consider defeat, and I will remove from my vocabulary such words and phrases, quit, cannot, unable, impossible, out of the question, improbable, failure, unworkable, hopeless, and retreat. That made sense. For all of these words, These are the words of fools. And then he said this, I will avoid despair. But if this disease of the mind should infect me, then I will work on in despair. There's so many lines in the scrolls that are coming alive today that since 1968 really haven't had the substance and meaning they have today. Then he says, I will toil and I will endure. I will ignore the obstacles at my feet. And here's the key. And keep mine eyes on the goal above my head. For I know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I will persist until I succeed. Now, before we talk about persisting, it's critical that we have a goal to place above our head. It can sustain us and assist us, even if we must toil and labor in despair for some of those moments. So we're going to talk about two things. One, how to get that vision, that goal, and then some techniques you can use in the course of the day when you are in the despair, when this goal may not be sufficient. How can we find passion in the moment to drive us through this process? So those are the two places we're going to go tonight. The very basic principles can be applied to many things, relationships, to our work, our careers, accumulation of wealth. But there are some prerequisites. For this to actually occur, as I'll share with you in a moment, we must first turn our hearts and our desire to the service of others. We will not receive a clear vision sufficient to drive us if it's based solely on money and greed. This is a hard thing for some people to come to grips with. And most go through a very traumatic experience before they actually find it. I was having an assessment debrief with a wonderful person today who said, I used to think it was about the money. I just clicked my fingers and it happened. I could make it happen. And now I know it's not about the money. It's about people. And when I focus on people, the rest of it happens. So the very first prerequisite to engaging in the process I'm about to share with you is that our thoughts must be pure, truly focused on blessing the lives of other people. We'll want to have a desire, write that word down, a desire to bless their lives as much as we may have used to have, that's probably poor English, used to have and may have, a desire to be rich, a desire to live in that house, a desire to drive that Ferrari, a desire to be out of debt. As much as that desire drove our visualization, our new desire is blessing the lives of people. And that's why we started with connecting with people and teaching you the seven principles of intrinsic validation. When we follow these, starting by owning our own life experiences. Oh, I could weep from a conversation this morning as I watched an individual begin to own their life experiences so that they could bring them to the service of another person. So there was finally meaning in their pain. There was finally joy in their journey. There could finally be healing in their soul, which was in need of healing. Only healed by focusing on the service of another person. Two, next prerequisite, is that when we go into this space, we're going to get instruction. We are not going to escape. When life gets difficult, and we We have the gift of vivid visualization. It is so tempting to go into this space for that norepinephrine drug dose. It's so tempting. It's so delicious in the moment. But so totally destructive in the end. We are going to pay the price to use it solely for direction, to have an idea of where we're going and what it will take to get there. If we stay pure, focus on blessing the lives of other people, that's our desire. Our purpose for doing this is to get direction. Desire is people. Purpose is direction. We can then begin the process of planning and goal setting. You see, planning and goal setting has been reduced in too many circles to a to-do list of all the things I'd like to do or like to have. Goal setting for the person blessed with vivid visualization is about going into the future and being given, listen to this language very closely, being given a glimpse of the possibilities. This is a divinely inspired moment. It's a power greater than ourselves showing us possibility. It's why when someone receives that clear vision by going there, desire to serve other people, purpose to get instruction, why when it comes, it ignites such clarity that we become uncompromising in our tireless effort to create it. We will ignore the obstacles at our feet. And we will keep our eye on that vision because it's so clear and its source is so real. Now you'll notice as you go through this process each time you come back, and we'll cycle through these principles every 10 weeks. Come back 10 weeks from now, we'll be on this topic again, and it'll mean something different to you as you've been practicing this. And 10 weeks later, something even deeper. And the vision will get clearer. Some people in sales call it your why. Your why. You see, we've been trying to make this why a thing. A house. A car. Or we've given platitudes, it's about our children, to help justify our greed of having things for my children. No, it's not. That's just our justification. You see, when our why is based on escape and avoid fantasy, it will never generate the very passion necessary to create the effort to make it actually come to fruition. Everybody got that? When our why is rooted in fantasy, it does not have the power to create the passion to drive the action. So many people say, I need a bigger why. No! You just need an inspired one. A constructive one. It's not the size. It's the ability of the why to ignite our passion. And you can never, ever, never find it in fantasy. It won't happen. So if we want to escape to a time when and then live then, you will never find a why that's worthy of an inspired vision. Can't be more emphatic than that. I'm hoping that is crystal clear to everybody on the phone tonight. We are going to want to create a why, a vision that ignites our passion. And that is, we begin to be still and we go into the future. Financially, I wouldn't go more than a year. A relationship, I go right to the end of your mortal existence. Because that's the length of the commitment in mortality. I believe relationships go beyond that. That helps too. But at least to the end of mortality, last breath, where are you there? So relationships, last breath, finances due to the current financial situation, probably no more than a year out. You want to stay very flexible. You don't want to create an expectation and then create discouragement. In terms of wanting a relationship, there isn't a time frame. It's a process of becoming. And so the vision is about seeing what we want to become and then beginning the journey of becoming that person. That could take a week. I had a client, it took 4 years. And the love of his life walked into his world. So if we're ready, let's dive into these principles. Desire, focused on blessing the lives of other people. Purpose, to get instruction. I'm going to start with wanting a relationship. I want to talk to all of those who are single. Here's the process. I want you to go into the future and envision the perfect mate. Until you see them, be still. It might not happen immediately. Start to write down attributes of this person. Physical, emotional, spiritual, financial. Get crystal clear and see this person. Now, in your mind, you may not see someone's specific face. Don't be discouraged. This is more visceral. It's more of a feeling at this point as we're going into this space. What you want to get clear on is the list of attributes you want in this ideal person. Now, with a comprehensive list, you can come back to the present and look at this and reflect on what it would be like to be in a relationship with someone like that. This particular goal-setting process has a repeat phase. We go back out into the future, and we see the kind of person this person would want as an ideal mate. And we put ourselves into his or her shoes. And we begin to see what they might be looking for. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. And we make a second list. Now, there's little on that list that we can't be. But there can be much that we haven't yet become. We come back to the here and now. We don't want to get discouraged, have self-esteem screaming at us and saying, you're a loser, you'll never get there. No, you've got a clear vision of this person and that person with the person you're going to become. You can see the possibilities. And it's not made up in your mind. You have a power greater than yourself revealing to you, manifesting is the word that's most commonly used, manifesting to you a clear vision of possibility. The only difference between there and here is what you're going to do between here and there. And you take a look at that list. What do you want to take on first? Now you know exactly what you're going to do today and tomorrow. And the next day, if we are struggling with an addiction, will that ideal person tolerate such a thing? Would they be forgiving of such a thing? Would they allow it to be in their life? Would they allow someone who's been there? Yes, oh yes. You most likely find when the moment comes and you meet them, they may have been on a parallel journey with you. You begin the process. Okay, I let go of this one. Then I let go of this one. Is this person going to want me to be faithful to them? How do I treat women now if you're a man? How do I treat companions now? Do I respect them the way I would want to respect this person? Do I treat them the way I would treat this person? And I begin the process of practicing, of becoming a person who can treat another human being the way I would treat that dream person. And we begin to weed out the pieces. We start to become the person. And with this promise, when you finally have become that person, the person you have seen will appear in your life. Ramona and I had the privilege of having someone knock on our door a couple of years ago. Said, 15 years ago, you taught me how to do this, and you promised me this would happen. We're in Utah, and I wanted to find you so that you could meet him. And they came into our home, and we shared tears. He was everything she'd imagined. And she had become everything he imagined. I write in the material of a gentleman that I started coaching on the way to a rehab center. When he came out, we began in earnest. And it wasn't long before he said, I want to have a relationship. You can't find the woman he was looking for in a bar. It's not going to happen. No offense to anybody on this phone. The person he visualized and the characteristics she had, he would not find in a bar. And he began to change his life and to go places where those people were and to become that person. And he called me a couple of years ago, October, and said, Dave, I just found her. She walked into my life. She is my soulmate. Their first little child is now 6 months old. Unbelievable. If I hadn't witnessed it with my own eyes. Don't be discouraged. Just get clear. And then focus on becoming the person your ideal person will be looking for. And when you're ready, they'll be there. Be patient. Be patient. Now, in a relationship, we've talked about this before, and for those of you who are with us for the first time, you know, some people watch Ramona and me, and they just go, wow, I'd love to have a relationship like that. I just want you to know it's something we work on. We took time in the middle of this crazy day today to sit here in the office and just connect, to talk about what matters most. This amazing woman who just a week ago last Saturday walked and got her degree after 35 years of avoiding math, college algebra. She did it. You have a relationship. This is serious business, especially if there are children involved. It is critical that we go into the future. Remember, you're going there. The desire is to bless the lives of another person. In this case, it's your companion. To get instructions, direction. That's our purpose. We're going there. And we are connecting with a power greater than ourselves. Call it what you wish. And you're seeing possibilities. And just as clearly as you can drive a Ferrari and tell me what the color of the leather is, how it smells, what the wheels look like, the kind of stereo system, the house you would want, the feeling of the tile on your bare feet, the swimming pool, the dock, the boat, just as clearly as we see all of that stuff in fantasy, we can see possibilities if our desire is to see them. That's why fantasy unfolds so naturally. We have such a burning desire to be there with the sun falls. Nobody has to tell you what the trees look like while you're driving by in your fancy car. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody has to tell you what it's like when you're 85 years old, sitting on the back porch of some place you identify it, and you're looking into each other's eyes. And there's just no mistake, the world knows. And your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are coming to visit you. And they can't wait to see you. And there is such joy because you know that you have paid the price. You have done what was required to create, intentionally create that experience. You can weep in a moment like this when you're in that space in your mind. And then you simply ask, what do I need to do between October 19th, 2010 and age 85 to create that? The vision so clear, so rich, so pure, so beautiful. And we ask, in the next year, what could I do to move it one step closer? What could I do in the next quarter? Just write these down, because you're going to decide, not me. Next quarter. In the next month. In the next week. In the next day. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop down in the middle of a crazy day and just spend a moment connecting on the telephone or in person? Are you going to hold each other just a little bit longer? Are you going to send cute notes? Ramona sent me one today on the email. I won't read it to you. But she sent it to me, this list of things that I was going to do today. I'd left it at the office. She added a couple things to it that just made me giggle. Are we going to do that? We think about it all the time, but do we do it? Then every week, is there a non-negotiable date? Night? Every month there's a non-negotiable day? Every quarter a non-negotiable weekend? Every year a non-negotiable week? Part of what came out of our meeting today was an exciting weekend. It's planned. It's on the calendar. Oh, I just had a burden lifted. I get tingles thinking about it. Now, some might say, well, Dave, we can't even afford to go on a date. And I said, isn't this exciting? Get an inspired view, not one you made up, one that is so clear in your mind, you know it's true. It is possible. Then you put your faith in a power greater than yourself, and you begin the process of creating. If you're in business and you have a day where you don't want to do the work, and you know that in 3 months you're going on a trip and X dollars needs to be raised to do that, do you think you might actually do the work today? Might push a little extra, do a little extra thing, do something you don't want to do, have a whole different reason for making those phone calls? To create an opportunity for that to be built. You see, goal setting's all tied together. The relationship requires opportunities to build. Some of those opportunities may require that there are some funds available to create that moment. Not always. It doesn't need to be elaborate, but there may be some funds that are required. And now when we come over here to the financial piece, which we're headed to next, we come over here, we have another reason for doing it other than just meeting a financial goal at the end of the year. There's purpose and meaning in what we're doing. Have I got this so far? But for this to happen, we've got to be focused on blessing the lives of another person, the life of another person, going to get instruction about what we're going to do to get there. There's no escape or avoid about this. It's clarity of vision. That drives the action. Wow, night's my passion. I can't wait. get you up at 4 o'clock in the morning, if that's what's required. Now let's turn to the finances. This is a difficult time. Conversations today, you know, I used to just be able to click my fingers, a client said, and I could create it. A major retailer said to us, break even's the new profit margin. In a conversation with someone at the office today, I said, the bills are all paid. Isn't that exciting? It's not about lots of reserves. It's about staying in business and blessing lives. The focus is shifting. The rules are changing. So the very first thing we want to do with income goals is be reasonable. Don't create a goal if you made $50,000 this year to make $50 million next year. Based on what? The universe providing? It doesn't work that way. Let us pick a goal that's 50% bigger than this year, maximum. And the very first thing we want to do is go into the future and experience what it'll be like to have that additional money, knowing full well that in fantasy, we probably have been considering 10 times that, and we may have already in our minds spent it. And thinking about a 50% increase makes it feel like we're being robbed. We're not setting aggressive goals. We're not looking at success. I'll tell you what, 50% more than you made this year that's actually in a bank account versus 100% of that fantasy that can't be banked is pretty powerful. So make an income goal. Then when you've made your income goal, reflect on how you use it to bless your life and those around you. If you have a companion, it might be what provides that quarterly or that monthly getaway or that annual date. It might be if you have children, the violin lessons or the piano lessons or the karate lessons. See what it could actually create in blessing the lives of people. Can you feel it? Oh my goodness. For those who have been fantasizing, this is the most painful process in creating new financial goals. Creating ones that are realistic. Because they feel like we're losing. Oh, in fact, we are champions. Our lives, we're on the road to taking it to another whole level. Because it'll actually come true. And after we've come up with that goal, and we've considered what's possible with those we love, we now convert it to people. How many people will I need to touch? How many lives will need to be blessed for that to be generated? The laborer is worth his hire. If it's insurance that I sell, how many lives do I need to protect against catastrophe, death, dismemberment, accident, fire, flood, whatever it might be? How many people can I protect? You start to feel a shift in the focus the minute you go there. If I'm in the real estate business, how many people can I assist in selling a home to ease a burden? How many people can I assist in getting into a home so they have a great place that they love to live? They'll be sleeping in the beds in those bedrooms. They'll be cooking in that kitchen. How many lives will I need to bless? You can do that with any profession and any business. Now I've got people. Now I go, okay, how many people will I need to contact to find these people? Where can I find them? Now imagine the worthiness of being focused on blessing the lives of another person, going into this space to get direction, and now we begin mental rehearsal, exploration in the middle of our goal-setting process. We imagine these people at a convention or around our office or at a party at our home. Lives blessed, grateful to have met us, value brought into their lives. Spend some time with them. Get to know them. You say, are you crazy, Dave? Well, heaven forbid, we've been spending time with every luxury car that's ever been made, every house that's ever been built, every debt-free situation we can imagine. We've been intimately spending time there. Let us spend it here. Let us spend time with these people. Let's find out where we met them, how we contacted them, what was important to them, and let this power continue to inspire you. If you write ads, you'll write different ones. If you make phone calls, you'll make different calls. You'll talk to different people. You'll show up in different places. You'll go places you've never considered going before, saying things you've never considered saying before, because you'll see these people. You are now going to spend the rest of the year finding them. They may not have the same name, gender, or profession, but you'll know when you find them, and you'll bless their life. And at the end of the year, if you found them, and you bless them, the income is in your bank account. It's a natural outcome of serving. You see, when we goal set this way, cleanly, to bless the lives of other people, to get instructions, to explore possibilities, there is a power that will manifest that possibility. And when you see it, you will fight through everything. I have shared this with you before, but most of you have had an opportunity to take the intentional creation assessment. I was sitting at this very desk where I am tonight, with an associate sitting on the other side of this desk, when the flash came in three brilliant flashes. But we had been searching in this very process for clarity. How can we bless tens of thousands of lives? How can we do so affordably? And when we were pure in our intent, seeking possibility and direction, it came like a lightning bolt. And in 20, 30 minutes, I had drawn on a piece of paper a very rudimentary version of what you now see in your assessment. It was true to axiological mathematics in terms of form and structure and construct. There's stuff in there you don't really know. Just in its very design, it's true about how we think and how we process and what's most important. It's amazing. I was just privileged to be here when it came. And I'll tell you, for 19 months, we have pushed through hell to create it. Hours and hours. That if it had not been that clear, we would have given up long ago. We couldn't. We could feel it. We knew the source. We knew that it would look like this, and it would begin to bless lives as it now is. Trust this piece. You notice I've mentioned the power a number of times tonight. What was interesting was being in Iowa on a stage with businesses, having three different speakers talk of God. Interesting. I was reflecting on the plane. Scroll 10, Og says this. Who is of so little faith that in a moment of great disaster or heartbreak is not called to his God? His God. Who has not cried out when confronted with danger, death, or mystery beyond his normal experience or comprehension? He goes on to say, we don't ask for gold or garments or, you know, save me, rescue me, bring me a meal, take care of me, you know, give me petty victories, joy, gold. Instead, give me guidance. Just let me see possibilities that I may actually do the work to acquire those things. Not real technical, huh? And again, that's why we start with stepping into the world of others. So that our desire is pure to bless the lives of others. That's the secret ingredient to getting an inspired idea of that magnitude. And then going with these words on our lips, you know that I will do whatever is required to create it. You know that I will do whatever is required to create it. When you can speak those words with confidence and with the purity of blessing the life of another person, you'll get a clear vision. Now, even with a clear vision, there are times when we're in the process of doing something really difficult. And we are working on in despair. There's just no question. There'll be days like that. And when we are, there's one more technique I want to share with you in this goal-setting process. Look at the task and ask yourself three questions. Question one, what can I create? Two, how can I create it? Three, how will this bless others? You may be looking at a stack of names you don't want to call. What could I create? How could I create that? How would this bless these people? What could I say? How could I say it so that I can bless these people? We go back to the very same source for clarity. Not to have that power make the phone calls for us, to inspire us about the very people we're going to call. And trusting that when we get an inspired idea, impression, or a solution to the problem, it will ignite our passion. And if we have the courage to follow it, we will actually create something magnificent. So the event itself can be a source of passion. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Use that to get through the tough pieces. And then keep your eye on the goal above your head, that clear vision that came because you are seeking for guidance to see possibilities that would be so firmly planted in your mind you do not have to even write it down. You've seen it. You've seen it. And when you run into an obstacle that seems so big, you can have great faith that you can overcome it. Well, those are the principles. Bear with me for a moment. I'll take this off mute. Everyone can now be heard. Before we wrap up this session, are there any questions about how to proceed with this goal-setting exercise? Okay. Our objective this week is to remain focused on blessing the lives of others, stepping into their world. We also want to study scroll number 6. That's the scroll we're going to read this week. That's your homework assignment, scroll 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. Because we'll wake up in different moods every day. That's what Og tells us. We're going to wake up in a different mood every day. We take control of that. Og says there'll be days when we'll have to struggle with all of our might to fight through this. Scroll 6. Master our emotions. use our thoughts constructively to ignite, or to, excuse me, to create those inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Now I'd like all of you this week to begin the process. Relationships, if you don't have one, go through the process. Make the list of the ideal, make the list of what the ideal is looking for, and begin the process of working on the first item. If you're in a relationship, go to age 85. Some might say, well, my spouse isn't part of this, they're not excited. I can tell you, if you start showing up, there's a very good chance they will start showing up more. If we keep nagging them or criticizing them, most likely not. And with the caveat, if you're in a relationship that's harmful, these rules don't apply. You need to get some assistance very quickly. You don't want to try to apply this in an emotionally abusive or physically or sexually abusive relationship. But you can take almost any relationship, and by you becoming the ideal partner, you can inspire the other. Be the one who inspires, not the one who tries to drive and change and fix. If you can work on this together, how beautiful that would be. To talk about this age 85 and working toward it, what can you do in the next year, next quarter, next month, next week, today? Financially, get clear on your financial goal, how it's going to bless your family, and convert it to people. And from that day forward, there'll be no more thought about money. It'll be solely serving those people. Spend time thinking about them. Get to know them better. Use this vivid visualization to meet them. You don't need to make it up. If your desire is to serve, it will unfold, just like a fantasy used to. And pretty soon you'll have a good idea where to go and what to create. You'll see opportunities no one else sees. They're all mired in the dungeons of darkness, of despair and frustration and overwhelm. You're on a mission to find those people, if that's your business. And a year from now, we'll all get back together and we'll talk about how it all worked. What an exciting year is ahead of us. You're going to be a light in the darkness. Because as you begin to create intentionally, others are going to want to know what in the world you are doing. And you'll bless their lives. We thank everybody. Scroll 6. Goal setting. Next week we're going to take on completing tasks. What do we do with this passion? And now we're going to start executing on these pieces. Come prepared with some of those pieces in mind, so that we can begin talking about how that power manifests to additional amazing gifts when we are in action. Well, thanks everybody, and good night, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.